now to your regularly scheduled program.
Hey everybody, this is Josh Martin.
And I'm Marty Hyde.
Hey, how you doing?
Welcome to the Tattoos and Jesus Podcast.
I am very happy to be here!
Here at TNJ, we seek to blend the righteous with the ridiculous.
Please explain.
We discuss coffee, counseling, Christianity, and whatever else crosses our mind.
We hope you enjoy it.
Okay, let's go.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode, draft night episode of Tattoos and Jesus.
That doesn't matter.
Nobody else matters. We're recording on, the NFL draft night?
Yes.
Mr. Joey Bosa over here.
That's right. I got my jersey ready. I'm ready. So.
Who do you want the Chargers to draft?
I want us to trade the number 5 pick. This is pre-draft, by the way. Trade the number 5 pick for the 11th and 23rd pick from the Vikings. I want us to draft Brock Bowers and Joe Latham from Alabama's offensive tackle.
Both of those are on Alabama's offensive tackles?
One's a Georgia tight end. The other one's an offensive.
Brock is the tight end, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I recognize that name.
That's who I want.
So you want a tight end.
If they trade back. Now, they have the number 5 pick, and they could get a really solid receiver. I just think that if they stick with offensive tackle at the number 5 spot, that's worst case for me, but that's most likely to happen because that's what Jim Harbaugh does. He's that offensive line guy.
So you don't think they're going to trade the number 5?
They want to. I just don't know that they'll get what they want. And if they stick at number 5, I'm not 100% confident they'll actually pick the best player. Available.
Who's going number 1? Do you think Caleb Williams is?
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest with you. I think so. That guy's a turd.
Yeah, he's not great.
Like, there is zero part of me that would want to draft him. Cause he's a head case. Yeah. He thinks he's God's gift to football.
Yeah, slacking off in interviews and stuff.
Yeah, like, won't go work out for people because he's like, they don't have a legitimate. He's just too full of himself. It's like a Johnny Manziel flop situation.
What about your team?
What about my team?
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a clue. I don't follow the crap that much.
Well, who is your team? That's what I wanted to know. Who is even your team?
The Browns.
The Rams. Like, two
no.
Years
okay.
Ago.
Whoa. Okay. The Browns are like.
Can I have a pick?
Always my team. Like, they're the team that's like, that's the team that I grew up, like, my dad's a fan of the Browns. So it's like, I always am like low key, like, how are the Browns doing? I follow the Browns, kind of keep track of them somewhat. But rarely are they relevant for anything other than clickbait headlines.
That's fair.
So what I do is there's a team each year that like stands out to me.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, a couple years ago when they traded Jared Goff for Matt Stafford in the Rams, I was like, and correctly, was like, that's the team to watch. Like, that became correctly. My team of the year. Last year, I had watched that, like, whatever that Netflix football special was, and it talked about, and it showed Kirk Cousins behind the scenes, amongst other players. But, like, I really can, I think Kirk's just, he's, like, a great guy. Like, he's funny, he's kind of nerdy, but just a really solid dude. And I was like, I like this guy. And I like the Vikings, like, not like really like them, but like the players.
Yeah.
And so I was like, that's the team I'm watching, right? I even named fantasy football after them. Welcome to Kirktown.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
And so it's like there's just different teams that I like kind of keep an eye on.
But I don't even know if the Browns have a first round pick.
I honestly said, I think it was last year, before last year, I said that I thought the Jaguars might be the surprise team, and they were the surprise team. Surprisingly bad.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be really interested to see how Kirk does at the Falcons. New coach. They've got some decent players there. I don't think that will, like, follow the they're not, like, my team, but I think the Texans are going to be interesting.
They'll be good. They'll be really good.
The Broncos, that'll be interesting. Where did Russell go?
Steelers.
Oh, that'll be an interesting one.
Yeah.
To see if they get that chemistry right.
It'll be a good year.
So it'll be interesting. Cowboys are always an interesting team.
Yeah,
always drama. Miami. I feel like this is a weird year for Miami.
We have 6 different teams.
Anyway, so guess what?
What's up?
About 2 hours ago, my dad cut his finger off.
Cut his finger off.
Yeah.
So
shout out to my dad's finger. It's not like off, but he. I'm showing Josh a photo right now of my dad's finger.
Doing what?
The text I received says, I think dad will need a few stitches, slice his thumb instead of the watermelon. So here's a little pre-stitches action.
Nice.
It's nice and deep. Good deep. So if you're listening and you're like, man, I like gory nastiness. Well, oh, they put the shot right in there.
That doesn't seem great.
No. So anyway, so they, you can text me. I'll show you a picture of my dad's gory finger. Oh, so that's my life.
Well, I'm pumped. I love this night. It's one of my favorite nights.
I'm gonna be honest. I said, hey, can you record on Thursday night instead of Tuesday night? You're like, well, I have to see, because what time's the draft start?
8.
Oh, you said, I'll have to see because of the draft party. And I was thinking, what is he talking about? I didn't even know the NFL draft was tonight.
Yeah.
And then I opened ESPN and it referenced the draft. And then I remember seeing a lot of video clips recently. I was like,
the draft.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So I've been mock drafting with the Chargers for about 2 months. You can ask my wife. If I'm bored and I'm sitting there, I'll mock draft.
You're an idiot. Get a life. Read the Bible.
Just because. It's more of a quick thing. Like,
oh, my goodness.
10 minutes.
How does a mock draft even work? Like, what's...
You log on, you pick the Chargers.
I regret this question.
And it just... You are the Chargers, and you pick whoever's there. You trade with whoever, and you just mock draft for a
and
while.
And so, does the computer predict who the other teams are picking?
Yeah.
Based on realistic odds?
Yeah.
And so, they throw out different versions of the scenarios, and you try to see who's going to be available, who's not going to be available?
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you, man. That's really nerdy.
Mock draft. Look, here's the thing. I love the Chargers, man. I love the Chargers. I don't know how else to do it. I love the Chargers.
Yeah.
But, all right, so I'm going to say something.
Say it.
Has no relevance and no anything.
Okay.
To what we're about to talk about.
Okay.
But have you ever passed somewhere and was like, there is no way that business is not a drug front?
Oh, my goodness, yes. Yes. Yeah.
First store that popped in your mind when I said that.
Mattress Firm.
Yes. Second store that popped in your mind.
There was a crap. There was one I was talking about just the other day that I said there's no way that is not a what was it? Mattress Firm always does. And then there's another one. It might be a restaurant, but no one is ever there.
Hardee's?
No, not Hardee's, because you
breakfast.
Know I'm coming through and being Mr. Karen.
No kidding.
What was it?
It's just these random.
Yeah.
Like, let me fix your bike. Like, it's just, or vacuums.
Oh, that's what it was. Down Spartanburg.
Mm-hmm.
If you're heading, you know where the QT is right downtown on what's that road that heads out towards Target?
Yeah.
There's an old church's chicken right there. Anyway, so if you turn on that road and you're going down, and you know on the right there's the old Coca-Cola plant on your right?
Yeah. Yeah.
On your left, there's a used treadmill store.
Yeah.
I have said for years, I was like, that is a front.
Yeah.
Then I met somebody and said they actually do a bunch of repairs in the back and they're pretty profitable.
Of treadmills?
Who does that anymore? It is an open business. Go look. If you listen and you're in downtown Spartanburg driving down whatever that road is that comes from downtown out towards Dorman Center, used treadmill store. I don't know if it's – I think it says used treadmills. Pretty sure it's used.
How?
Even if they're new treadmills, there's not that big of a treadmill market.
No, not at all.
When there's Academy down the road to Amazon online.
That's wild.
Used treadmills. Drug front.
I wonder if cops drive by and be like – like, no, like that in the intel that they know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely a drug front. Like, there's just nothing they can do about it, but they know, like, where the drug. And it really is some of these, like, random places.
So, what ruined me was the show Breaking Bad.
Right. With Polo.
Because there's
whatever.
The chicken restaurant.
Yeah.
And then, which is really funny, because when I'm in Texas, there's a fast food chain called Chicken Express. And every time I look at it, I think of Breaking Bad and the restaurant. No, not Breaking Bad with the, yes, that one, because that's a drug movement. But then they buy the car wash.
Yeah, the car wash,
which is a genius money laundering scheme.
Right.
Because unless there's a camera on it, there's no way to prove how many cars went through.
Yeah.
Like, anytime you can come, because that's what that's what makes a perfect money laundering scheme is when whatever product it is cannot be accounted for.
Yeah.
But it's legitimate.
Yeah.
It's like car washes are pretty smart. It's a pretty good one.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you have to have product or at least evidence that you can find the evidence of purchasing that product, not with a car wash.
What about therapy? Could therapy be, if a cash only counseling agency, can you think that could be a drug front? Because you can't track that.
So this is funny.
I'm not suggesting that this is going to happen.
Okay.
I'm just asking.
You're actually sitting on 12 kilos of cocaine right now.
Man.
That's why I stay busy.
Right.
No, this, I mean, sure, I guess. But I do know, I probably shouldn't put this in the ethos, that in counseling, there is a tremendous amount of tax evasion.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I'm sure this happens in any, like, low-level cash pay enterprise. Think chiropractor. Here's why. So, I'm not going to throw out names. I know people. I could give names. If you're a cop and you contact me, I don't really know names. It's just for the show.
Yeah.
All right, but I know names. So, I know a person that, actually, this person is deceased now. So, I'll give you that name.
R.I.P., man.
Yeah. Mob put a hit on him. No, so in counseling, right, there's multiple ways in which you can get paid, right? Insurance reimbursement, EAP payments, and then cash pay, right? Cash pay. Well, especially back in the day, because now we have these, electronics have made for it's easier to follow breadcrumbs. But back in the day, I knew counselors, and this is true even now, where if a person comes in and hands you cash for the session, you can acknowledge somehow that they've paid for the service, but that doesn't mean you have to report it to the IRS. All money that comes from an insurance company, you should probably report.
Should you be talking about this? Is this legal?
No, I told you it's tax evasion.
So are you just giving away everybody's?
I don't do it. It's not rocket science. But if you're a cash pay client and you run a small private practice, just you, and a person hands you cash, like I knew somebody who, they just pocketed that cash. The only money that they reported to the IRS was money that was trackable. And so if it was like maybe a check that could be tracked, because then it shows that it's been cashed, a person could show it. If it was insurance reimbursement, but if a person handed them cash,
there's no way.
They never reported it.
Yeah. That'd be
it's the same way for waiters and waitresses.
Yeah.
Because they get tips. It's a self-report situation.
It's almost like a, yeah, I got you.
Right? And so I had friends growing up, think of one person, not going to say your name, who worked at and was a waitress. And so what they did is, they had a game, is at the end of every night, they reported an amount of money that seemed legitimate, but was not actually. And so they pocketed the rest tax-free because it was a self-report situation where they would document it in the system, the system of the restaurant, so that it calculated as part of their payment for their W-2s or W-4s or whatever. And so what they would do is just put down. So if they got like $27, they'd put down like 12 bucks. So that if they ever got audited, it looks legit. And there's no way to prove it. The cash is gone. Like you would have to catch them that night. And then it would be like tax evasion, like 10 bucks. Like, what are you going to do about that? And so that's what, it's a game.
Interesting. So you just gave up. Anybody who's listening out there, and you run a cash pay business.
Yeah.
Marty just gave you.
Do you think?
A free plan.
Do you think the professionals don't know this?
That he will take a percentage of if you end up using his strategy. As a consultant.
Here's another game that I know for a fact happens because it was offered to me within the last 3 months is some of the, so if you go to a medical provider and they, with insurance, your deductible starts over at the beginning of the year. And so let's say your deductible's $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
That means you have to pay, this isn't exact. If you're an insurance person, you're going to say, that's not exactly right, Marty. For the sake of this purpose, it is. That means you have to pay 100% of your medical expenses for the first $1,000. But after that deductible's met, then you just pay your copay or co-insurance, which is usually like 20 bucks, 25 bucks, 40 bucks, much smaller. And for the rest of the year, you only have to pay that copay, right? But for the first $1,000 or $4,500 or $400, whatever it is with your insurance provider, it's all on you. Well, do you know how they know whether or not a person has paid that $1,000? Based on billing. And so basically, if I'm a medical provider, if I'm a medical provider, I submit a bill to insurance that says Marty came in for dental cleaning and it was $75. Insurance responds and says, Marty's responsible for that $75, but we're going to note it as paid towards his deductible. So now my deductible is $925. Does that make sense? They don't actually know that I've paid it to the company. They just get a bill from the company that says, you know, Marty received this service for $75. And so they assume, because legally that company has to charge me that $75. And I either have to pay it or set up a payment plan or it goes to collections. But I'm to be held accountable for that $75 and to pay it. And then in return, because I'm being held accountable for it, they acknowledge it as contributing towards the deductible. You tracking with me? For people that have a really low deductible, what a lot of these like shady places will do is what they do is they'll say, hey, we're going to turn in the bill for the service, but you actually don't have to pay it. It'll help you get rid of your deductible faster. And so you keep coming back for more services. And they know you come two or three times, you knock out your deductible. We've given you four free services, but we've earned your loyalty. And then for the rest of the year, you're going to keep coming and we're going to make bank off of you because insurance is paying the rest.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
And so it's illegal because it's illegal for you to say that you're holding someone accountable for money that you're not holding them accountable for. I may or may not have gotten rid of some deductibles that way.
Right. I have heard of that being being done. I'm not going to lie.
So there's...
There's ways out there.
There's ways. There's, now, when they get caught...
Yeah. Then it becomes...
hot water.
And it becomes a little sketch.
Who do you think's a freaking money laundering? Who do you think? Other than Mattress Firm and...
Anybody that I, any store that I ever cross that I'm like, there's no way they're still.
Massages.
I mean, maybe. There's people that go, but massages are sketch on a whole nother level.
Yeah, but that's because of prostitution.
Trafficking and all that.
No, but what I'm saying is that's another one that's like, I did 20 massages. There's no way to prove it. You're not going to walk around saying, right. Do you look tender today? You look tender today? Right.
So I'm going to say this and hope that whoever is a part of this.
Haircuts?
Is not. It's not a listener, but the balloon shop down the road. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
But there's a Papa John's, Applebee's. There's an Apple. It's right across from Hillcrest.
Yeah.
Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
Applebee's.
Yeah.
And they're Fuji's. In between is a...
Oh, next to Papa John's.
It's a Papa John's and a balloon store.
Yeah.
And that's all they do. It's called Balloon Time. There's no way... That balloon time.
Is that what got you thinking this?
I survived for 15 years selling balloons. There's no shot. You cannot tell me that store is making enough money to pay the rent, pay its employees. Like, I just, there's just, it's
balloons
none.
Have a real market value.
No shot. You'll never convince me that balloon time is profitable. Down the road. I mean, it could be. I could be completely wrong. People could be like, I need balloons for a party. They go and their bulks. Like, I get it. But just the shop itself, only selling balloons. I don't know. I'm not sold. But
balloon time.
I'm pretty sure that's what it's called.
It is now. That's a good one.
I'm pretty sure.
Balloon time.
But when we were in New York... There's tons of those. Like, we passed a ton of those
balloon stores.
No, just like like rent in New York City is high, and you had six shops side by side.
Yeah,
Starbucks, Arby's, Taco Bell, organic avocados. All they sold was organic avocados. And I'm like,
no shot
that they are like they're paying the same as Starbucks. And they're paying the same as Taco Bell, making the same amount of money. It's just, I don't know. And in New York, I guess it would be easier because there's 1,000 shops on every corner and nobody would really care. But,
yeah,
I don't know.
I think when it's a low-level dealer like that, like a low-level, I think a lot of times they just overlook it. The cost of addressing it is more than just permitting it.
That's probably fair.
That's my theory. Because, and you know this, for like, I mean, cops, this is obvious. It's a strategy, right? A lot of times they'll let the little man live because they're trying to get bigger than that, right? They're trying to get higher up on the food chain. So yeah, that makes now. So answer this question: are you willing to say this?
It's all about balloons. Is the name of it. I said balloons near me, and it's all about balloons because that's all the shop is about. It's closed. It closes at 5 o'clock on Thursday and Friday. Opens at 10. Opens at 9 on Saturday. Closes at 3. Is closed completely on Sunday. 10 to 5, no shot. No, absolutely no shot. No shot.
Or we're in the wrong business, man.
Like, look.
What if we could open a store at 10, close at 5, and be profitable?
Well, then I guess you are a drug front.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know about that. I want to apologize if anybody is connected to It's All About Balloons. But
I don't apologize. I want an
you
email
to come on the show.
I want to see your tax records 2023. That's what I want.
All right.
I was gonna say something.
Go for it.
I honestly don't remember what it was now. Oh, here's my question. If you knew that you could receive income and not report it, would you do it?
You're not trapping me on this. You're not getting me. Okay. Yeah, I'm reporting it. I have integrity, Marty.
Isn't there a certain amount that you can receive, like a secondary income, before it's reportable? Like, you don't have to report every dime. Like, if you go have a yard sale and you make $50, like, you don't have to report that $50 as income. Like, there's a threshold. Isn't it like 600 or 2000 or something?
I don't know. All these numbers and these schemes that you got going on right now, I don't know what's going on.
Do you remember the controversy a couple years ago with Amazon? People were selling stuff on Amazon, and Amazon was not providing any tax records. And so it was tax-free, and the government basically forced them to send out a tax form to anyone who sold stuff on Amazon each year because people weren't reporting it.
Don't remember that.
So?
Don't remember that at all. But I believe you. You just gave their plan away about 15 minutes ago, so.
right.
So if anybody's willing to do that, yeah. Marty gave you a step-by-step on how to become a criminal on tattoos and Jesus. How do you evade taxes?
Talk about controversial.
As a business.
That's the name of the show, How to Evade Taxes. Stick it to the man.
This is our last podcast because we will be shut down after this.
I don't know how you thought this show was going to end, but I know how it is going to end.
Yeah. No kidding. So speaking of the show ending.
Dun-na-na, dun-na-na.
We're not ending, but... Me and Marty decided to have an open conversation on the podcast, like we just did.
Have open conversations, not marriages.
Right. And about the future of the podcast. We thought we would invite the listeners in to discuss where we're thinking about taking tattoos.
And when I say invite the listeners in, we literally were 2 minutes into this conversation, and Josh is like, hit record, and we're just going to have it live. And I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. So I really don't know what's about to be said.
Yeah. So we're gonna talk about it. So
what are we? Episode 138?
Yes. We're almost at 150. And we've hit a level of we have a good rhythm.
Yeah. We're close to have been doing this for 3 years.
Right. And we've had some good interviews.
Mm-hmm. We have data.
We have legit topics usually. But
there's themes.
Recapping the past 140 episodes,
mm-hmm.
there was a very, very big outreach and, I don't know, I guess audience sample size. I don't know what to call it.
I mean, we've had...
With our Hail series.
Well, that's the thing, is over the last 3 years, we've had tens of thousands of listeners, or listens.
Yes.
I don't know how many people that represents, but... Tens of thousands of listens.
Right.
to be able to see people really like this, people don't listen as much to this, people really listened to the Hell series, people really, really listen. Because the cool thing about the Spotify app that we use to produce the show is it compiles data for us. It's not like we had to go back and compile it. And disproportionately, there are two things that people seem to love to hear.
That
jokes from me.
T- tax evasion schemes.
Dad jokes. No. Interviews is first.
Interviews was...
Well, not first, but one of the two popular ones is interviews. Even some of the interviews that I was like, eh, it's just mediocre, really high stream rates. So I don't know if it's that person has friends and they want to hear it, or I think people just like to hear people's stories. So, like, great feedback on interviews. People love to hear the interviews. And so we want to keep doing that as people fall in our lap.
Yeah.
The second thing that gets tons of streams is what?
I was going to try to say something, and then I decided not to. So second is obviously diving into the weeds, controversial topics, hot-button topics within the Christian faith usually.
Mm-hmm.
Overall, not so much, but within the context, because there's a, to me personally, and this might be because I'm more in this movement, I guess you could say, but Christianity is kind of going through some things, or the
at least it feels like it.
Yeah, at least it feels like it. The Protestant, conservative, mm-hmm. Baptist.
Lots of questions are being asked.
There's a lot of things that are happening within our worldview.
Really cool for many and provides heartburn for some.
Right. And there's a journey that's kind of been going on. And we want to, as me and Marty have been talking, we want to introduce some of these things that we hear, that we listen to, that we study, that might not be fully settled in our minds mm-hmm. and our hearts, or even extremely controversial that mm-hmm. people don't enjoy talking about or don't want to talk about.
Maybe even something that is outside of Christianity or so fringe that neither one of us actually agree to it.
Yeah.
But it's a it's a sticking point.
Yeah.
It's a controversial, like, get in the weeds and wrestle with a topic.
Yeah. There's a few. And so I have personal views. Obviously, we know about the hell view, but I have some personal views that I haven't shared on the show. I don't even know if I've shared in general. I think I've shared with Marty. But that we haven't talked about that are mm-hmm. controversial, but it's good conversation. So if we go back to the interview we did with David Armin,
mm-hmm.
there's one thing that he said that has really stuck out to me since then. Because I don't think I know that we do this, but I don't really think I realized how impactful it is we can talk and disagree and still be unified. And I think that's huge for people to hear and model and learn, because I think that's where the church is going to end up. But if we don't know how to do that now, then there's going to be more division, which is why we have so many denominations and we're divided right. on Sunday 1,000 different places. And I'm not saying we're the best at that, but we do a good job. We do a good job. You haven't kicked me out.
No.
You haven't.
I'll be honest. Shunned anybody. The times I'm the most angry with you have nothing to do with the show topics.
Forgetfulness?
Yeah.
ADD moments?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll revert back to what I texted you this morning. You'll be like, I'm off all summer. I have nothing but time. Which all that means is you develop a concept in your head that you have nothing but time, and you will overbook yourself constantly. You'll have like 3 days of nothing and one day where you've scheduled 12 things. But because you're like, I got nothing but time, you just say, yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, that's true.
And they'll be like, Josh, are we still recording? Man, I actually have a tea time. And I was supposed to go to dinner with Sarah.
I just want to let you know, I did the tea time thing once, and Marty has not let me live it down since that one day.
Have I ever had a tea time that conflicted?
I mean, I'm just saying. All right.
So what we're getting at is, the show's not radically changing. But I'm chewing ice, sorry. Let me swallow it.
Okay.
I wasn't kidding. I just swallowed a whole ice cube. It's stuck on my...
You know what?
Just something.
You take a timeout, okay?
Listen, what I'm saying, not really, is we feel like by just looking at how people respond, and honestly, the things that we enjoy talking about the most are the weeds, the controversial topics that we wrestle with, which is funny because those were literally the topic, even though our show was meant to kind of have that tension, those were the topics that I was the most scared to talk about because I don't like criticism personally.
Mm-hmm.
I want people to like me.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that if we start talking about what does the Bible really say, about women in leadership, that there's going to be some people that are like, kudos to you, Marty, high five. And there's going to be some people that says, Marty, I do not agree with you.
Yeah.
Or if we had a conversation about hell and the different views of hell, or right, like I'm waiting, you know, there's this people pleaser side of me that's like scared, even though those are the conversations that we have the most privately.
Yeah.
And that honestly fueled the decision to start the show. And so it's the ones that get the most response.
Yeah.
And so clearly
other people
like to embrace that too, yeah. If not vicariously through us, to be like, I've had those thoughts, but I was scared to ask them.
And there's a lot of people who, in listening to other podcasts and researching and looking up different sites or people who have similar, I guess, goals that we do.
Mm-hmm.
There is a huge following of these sites, these people, these podcasts from our area, like the solely
the southeast,
where everybody that you see who's typing or who's talking is like, I am a former blah blah blah. I've been going through this. I had nowhere to talk about it. Here's my platform.
Yeah. And so that said, we've got some cool ideas in the works, right? Like we've started to brainstorm how can we integrate these topics instead of kind of being like one-off, like the interviews, each podcast is going to be geared towards
something.
It like that's our goal for every podcast is to have more in the weeds, kind of controversial or let's wrestle with this tension conversations more so than some of our funny, like here's your weekly radio show. Conversations. Yeah. Even to the point, like there's some books we're looking at right now. Josh is reading one of them right now that it's kind of like in the David Artman category, that it's a big name person that has a lot of influence that we're hoping to get on the show at some point. And so doing some more of that stuff where we can kind of enter into some of this gray space and try to hold attention for open conversation, which was the original intent of the show to begin with.
Yeah. So we're pumped. But we want to give you a heads up.
Heads up.
It could take a couple weeks to record because just like the Hell series, we prepped, we got our notes, and we felt like we needed an extra week of prep to make a really good, successful podcast. And so,
So
there could be a couple weeks in between.
And I remember when we went to launch a podcast and I was doing some research, it said there's two approaches to the podcast in the podcast world. One is the people that just show up every week to keep content flowing. Right. And then there's the podcast that they only drop it when they have a podcast to drop.
Right.
It's not. And so we kind of did a combination of those where we tried to. It wasn't just banter. Right. Like a weekly podcast is really good. Like a lot of my weekly podcast, because it's just talking about the football game from yesterday or it's like an NFL recap or a NASCAR recap. So having a weekly conversation because it's commentary on ongoing events, political, like it makes sense. But not if you're topic-oriented. And then the other side is, if it's topic-oriented, don't put out a product if it's not great just to say you put out a product.
Yeah.
And so I think what we're going to try to do, it's just an experiment, is still put out really consistent material.
Yeah.
Like, we don't want a month to go by.
No. Every week.
It may be weekly. It may be every other week. Right. It's just about how long does it take us to get together something that we feel like fits within the mold that we want TNJ to be, because we honestly think that's what people want to hear more than the other stuff.
Yeah.
And our views would suggest that.
Yeah.
So if you like the weekly radio banter, that will still be incorporated. Don't get me wrong. We can't avoid it. We'll talk about balloons.
Yeah.
But our focus is going to be more about what are some of these issues and how can we dive into them a little deeper. So,
and then shoot us questions that you have. Like we could probably, we've done enough discussion and research and study and over the past 3 years that we've been together to already talk about some of these topics. So we're not just coming in this only 2 weeks in. A lot of this we have talked about and researched and listened to already. We just haven't talked about it on here.
Yeah.
But if you have something that you want us to talk about, please let us know, because we want to be that platform for you.
Drop us a line, email. It'll be in the show description. Large23 on sweet wheat at yahoo.com.
Delicious.
Large23 on sweet wheat at yahoo.com. So if you have a question, no matter how ridiculous you think it is, if you're like, I've always wondered what scripture said about this, or I always kind of disagreed about this, or I never understood this.
Yeah.
Shoot it to us.
We got a lot of concepts and questions.
We may put it on the show, you know, if it falls within that category and we feel like it's a question that can, you know, create a 45-minute conversation, we'll add it because we are not the geniuses here full of answers. There are far more listeners than there are talkers here. And so I have no doubt in your mind that there's something about Scripture, Christianity, the religion of Christianity that's stuck in your craw, has never made sense to you, and bothers you, but it's normal.
Yeah.
Send it to us in an email. Text it to us if you're friends with us. Hit us up on our Facebook page. We want to move in that direction because that's what we find the most satisfaction, and it seems that that's where y'all find the most satisfaction in listening as well.
So don't burn either one of us at the stake if we talk about this and we take a position.
One of my favorite quotes, going back to David Hartman, was he said, just don't shoot. Hear me out. Just don't shoot.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can respect that. Like, he recognizes that he's walking on very dangerous territory. And he's like, hold up.
Yeah.
Hear me out. Just don't shoot yet.
Yeah.
That's all we're asking. Just don't shoot.
Yeah. We got a good thing coming. Just wanted to give y'all a heads up, have an open conversation about it. Today's podcast is probably not what you expected, but we want to get you excited because I'm pretty pumped about it. We've been talking about doing this. It's kind of like the hell thing. Like, we've talked about it. Hell was the first topic out of this bag, I guess you could say, that we've had over the years.
And we thought it would cancel us, and it actually did the complete opposite.
Right. And so we want to pull other things that we could talk about that maybe it'd be beneficial.
So, all right. We won't belabor it anymore. Shoot us an email. Let us know. Give us some feedback. If you love it, if you hate it, we don't care. No, I'm just kidding. Shoot us an email. Let us know. If you have questions, send those to us as well. And until next time, y'all behave yourselves.
Holla. Thanks for joining us on another episode of TNJ. Don't forget to check out the links to any of our guests in the show description.
And check out tattoosandjesus.org for additional show information or to submit your questions, comments, or curse words.